an honor to be here with you guys.
I really enjoyed singing with you this morning.
Two of my favorite hymns. I don't know if you always have those two hymns, but I love those two hymns. I'll set up here a little bit, and if I do something dumb or stupid, please be patient with me here this morning. My name is Rick Whitney, and this is my wife, Neva. I don't get asked to speak at other churches very often. I've been involved with our churches we got saved at Iowa State University a number of years ago, and Neva and I walked into a Bible study, and not Kansas State, Iowa State, and we walked into a January Bible study. We had no idea what we were getting involved with, but God did, and He caught us, and I've been involved in our churches, Great Commission churches, ever since. I graduated in animal science. I was going to be a cowboy and raise cattle. My dad, my family, Rick, Rock, Rory, Rand, Rod, five boys, we were all going to raise cattle. I love cattle. I still love cattle. But when the Lord caught me, He reminded me, taught me just that simple thought from His Old Testament. I own the cattle on 1,000 hills. That was a lot more cattle than I had ever owned. And He said, Rick, I might have some other things for you. We've been involved in church planting and church ministry with our churches ever since. And I don't get invited to speak at another church. What a delightful congregation and family here, all these kids. And I have seven children. My wife and I have seven children. Our youngest, we went up to see her yesterday in Omaha, Nebraska. She graduated from college a year ago, so my children are a little bit older. We also went up to see a grandson who was just born. I have 11 grandchildren. My wife reminded me. I thought it was 10. It's 11. And two more on the way. I wish they were here. Can I just ask, what is your name, young man with the red tie?
Peter.
I so appreciate how gracious you were. Was that with your little sister? You trying to help her there? And you hardly even missed a beat there. You just kept working with her. But it looks like she's recovered here. I appreciate your heart here. It is a thrill to be here. My wife and I, just to be with y'all, it is a dangerous thing to invite someone else. The man can blow in and blow up and blow out, and I don't have to stick around. I won't do that. I would like to share with you some thoughts from Mark chapter 7. Just a few thoughts even next week. We just, of course, with you, celebrated Easter last week. This Sunday morning at our church, Vintage Faith, it's one block north of the post office. Little white chapel, looks like a country chapel. Keenan Inglesby is emceeing the time this morning. Dan Walter is preaching. Cody is leading worship. We had that. Our building is actually, I'm not sure it's as big as this hall, and so we use it twice on Sunday morning at 9 and 11. I've never been to the Scenic Valley, and this is really a treat. You guys, you picked the right place to meet. What do you do if it's really like a blizzardy Sunday morning on January? So I'm getting down through that deal. That's kind of fun, but I'm going to remember this. I had a quick question. Do people spend the night here other than the bed and breakfast? Like 20 men, could they get away for a retreat and like sleep bags right here in the floor? Stomach? Be perfect. Yeah. I feel like I should share a little bit about who I am, only because I have so appreciated Nate and this prayer group. We were welcomed, warmly welcomed into this prayer group when we showed up in town 3 years ago in August. So we've been here almost 3 years here this summer. And we started in a living room, been involved in planning churches with our group of churches for the last 30 years. And we started in a living room right off of City Park. And then we eventually found this place. Usually we move into a Holiday Inn or a school and rent it Sunday morning. I never found a place quite this nice. And we grow. But this building came up for sale, and so we bought it and remodeled it and moved in there. We have a number of students from K-State, a number of military families that have joined us, and some community. We've gotten to know a few community folks. And it's a small church. We've enjoyed starting these churches. In my life, with my wife and I, with our kids, setting up chairs, putting up the PA, setting up the whole thing Sunday morning, being the first one here at 8 in the morning, the last one to leave at 2 Sunday afternoon. Usually that's been our MO for the last 30 years. We've been involved in planning churches at Florida, University of Florida, Gator Country. I moved from Iowa State University after we got trained up in the ministry. We started a church down in Florida, then eventually in Maryland, then in Colorado the last 20 years. Several churches around the Denver area, in the suburbs, and then our most recent church plant was in downtown Denver, and then we moved here 3 years ago with a team of about 10 or so, my wife and I, our daughter, she enrolled in grad school, my partner, Pat Sokol, and his wife, his daughter, a few other students, and like I said, we started in a home and been welcomed into this prayer group with these guys, and I'm hoping that they still like me 2-3 years into it, these pastors. You know, I don't know a lot of the churches in town. I just know this, on any Sunday morning in every town in this country, 80% of the people all over this country stay home. A lot of folks just don't know the Lord and don't have the Lord as their Savior. And so we've been busy sharing the gospel, knocking on doors, praying on porches, inviting people to join us. And last year, it's very encouraging. We bought a cattle watering tank, just a big old out at Tractor Supply. I remember when I bought it, the guy said, what's it for, horses? I said, no, not horses. I wish. He says, cattle? I said, no, not cattle. He said, what's it for? I said, humans. He goes, what? We put it out front and people get saved. We baptize on Sunday mornings and we've been having lots of fun. I do want to look into this passage and I'll share it with you. Bless my heart if you want to turn with me to Mark chapter 7. A little bit of who we are and where we come from, so I'm not just a guy that's just here to blow up and blow out. By the way, I forget. I brought a couple gifts. My wife and I work with these churches in Great Commission, and there's about 20-some churches in our region, in our geographic region. We're scattered across the country, maybe 80-some churches to Ohio State all the way out to Colorado. And I work with this region of churches, and we also are involved in publishing and writing and trying to provide tools. And I just thought, well, maybe this would be a gift that would bless some of you guys. You're welcome. I brought a few copies of a couple little booklets just to fit in the backpack. This is The War Against Your Soul. And it's just how we're just in this constant daily grind against this crazy culture, whether it comes at us via the radio or TV or movies or magazines or whatever. Just the war against your soul. And I'm taking on our culture a little bit. And then a couple of my students helped me, and they used our culture, they used the media to make it into a CD. And I thought, it's ironic here, I'm going to tear down the media, and I'm going to use the media to do it. But if you'd like a copy of that, you're welcome. I just brought a few copies. I didn't know what to bring here for you folks. But then I also brought a book for any young girls here in the room, from 12 and up, if you'd like to read. My daughter wrote a book about children's Christian women's stories of faith, and she's just sharing some of her disciples and how they've come to Christ in high school and college and some of their stories. I think it'd bless your heart, especially if you're a girl. Okay, should we move on? Mark 7. I have a few notes here. Let me just turn to my notes. I will lead us in prayer if I have your permission one more time. But I'll be honest with you, these are my notes. Mark 7 and Matthew 15. I've been thinking about this passage quite a bit. I've been encouraged by this story. I'd like to share it with our church next week on Mother's Day. It's about the Syrophoenician woman and her faith. And next week is Mother's Day. I think it is, isn't it? Yep. All you children, take note. Next week is Mother's Day. And I was with my mom over the weekend up in Omaha and thinking about my beautiful wife, who's a mother of seven, thinking about this Sunday coming up. But thinking about this woman's faith. Are any of you here familiar with Tim Keller? Tim Keller, the author. Have you enjoyed reading? He's just seems to have a sweetheart. I've never met him. He pastors in New York? New York? Yeah. Have you happened to read a book he's put out? We were listening to it on the way to Omaha to see my grandson yesterday. As we drove up and drove back, we were listening to this CD, King's Cross. Have you ever heard of that book called The King's Cross? He was looking at Mark. the Gospel of Mark, just story by story. It was just a blessing to me. A lot of you were like this when I said Tim Keller. You familiar with Tim Keller, kind of, a little bit? Well, he shared this story, and I just want to pass it on to you. I didn't create this story. It's just a blessing to read it in the Scriptures and to look at this woman's faith one more time. If I could, I'd like to pray with y'all one more time. Appreciate your prayers, men, and maybe we could all just bow our heads and shut our eyes one more time and look to you, Lord. Open our eyes, God, that we behold wonderful things in your word. Teach us and instruct us, Lord. It isn't an idle word, even as we read in the book of Acts and Isaiah. It is not an idle word. Indeed, it is our life. Open our eyes, Lord, that we behold wonderful things in your book. Teach us here with this story, this woman and her faith. Show us, Lord, how she was humble and yet bold, how she was broken before you, but very courageous. Teach us, Lord, about how we ought to approach you as Christians, men or women. Teach us, Lord, how we ought to be with you through her example. Guide us here and redeem these next few minutes in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Mark 7, if you would like to read, beginning in verse 24. Maybe before I just begin here, how many have had a chance to go to Israel? Anybody in the room had a chance to go to Israel? You have? Was it a couple years ago or 10 years or 5? 1 year ago?
4 years ago.
4 years ago. Neither, we had a chance to go about 4 years ago. Yeah. And that some of these churches I've been working with, and we started a church with a team of people, and we worked with plurality, and eventually recognized more men as pastors. And then we move on to a new city, and others plant other churches. And that's how our movement has grown. And these churches I've been with have came to Neva and I and said, we'd like you guys to go to Israel. Well, it was a blessing, wasn't it? Did you really enjoy the time, brother? What is your name? I'm sorry.
James.
James? I mean, it was walking through that country and opening up this book, it was kind of like it became in color versus black and white. It just kind of woke up and I really enjoyed that time. And when we were there, we took a little time. And if this is Israel, this section right here, and here's the Mediterranean Sea, and to the north is Greece and Egypt down here. If this is Israel, right along the coast, up in the northwest corner, off of Israel, is a little town called Tyre. I just read a biography of Alexander the Great. He has nothing to do with the story. He's 600 years before this woman, but he made Tyre famous. This little town up in the corner on the Mediterranean had a town that was about a quarter mile off the coast, a rock, and it was separated from the land. There was an ocean all the way around, but there was this little island rock. It was really like a rock. And they built their capital, their city, on this top of this rock. Alexander the Great comes marching down from the north and he says, yield and submit to me. And then the people that lived in Tyre said, no, and you'll never touch us. We're 1 mile offshore on this rock. It's kind of like Alcatraz, middle of the San Francisco Harbor. He says, you can't touch us anyway. Well, it irritated Alexander the Great. And he spent the next year or two building a causeway, kind of like a highway, pouring rock into the ocean, filling up until he got his battering rams up against this rock and tore it and destroyed it. That all happened about the year 600 or so B.C. 600 years later, there's a woman here, and this story picks up. She lives in this region. It's not Israel. It's apart from Israel. It has nothing to... It's a next-door neighbor to Israel. Next-door neighbor in terms of faith. Next-door neighbor in terms of culture. Next-door neighbor in terms of geography. They're not Israelis. And this is where the story picks up. Jesus had spent most of Mark here dealing with Israel, speaking to his countrymen, preaching to them, healing them, helping them. He came for the house of Israel. But the crowds are so big, and you've read this in Mark, the crowds are so big, even Jesus himself said, we need to get away. So here's where the story picks up. Chapter 7, verse 24. Jesus got up and went away from there to the region of Tyre. And when he had entered the house, he wanted no one to know of it. I'm reading in the New American. I hope that's okay. Jesus got up and went away from there to the region of Tyre. And when he had entered a house, he wanted no one to know of it. Yet he could not escape notice. But after hearing of him, a woman whose little daughter had an unclean spirit immediately came and fell at his feet. Here you read. He was trying to get away, trying to escape notice, probably to rest up a little bit, but it didn't work out. This woman had heard that he was in her neighborhood. Now the woman was a Gentile, verse 26, not a Jew, a Gentile, of the Syrophoenician race, not an Israeli, a whole different background. And she kept asking him to cast the demon out of her daughter. And the thought here is that she was just begging over and over. And she walks into this house. Here he is escaping. This is Israel. He escapes off to his little town. And a woman finds out he's there. And this woman had heard somehow the gossip had gotten all the way to Tyre and this whole region. And that, wow, this great rabbi, this great prophet is here. And she had a problem, didn't she? Her daughter. And she comes unannounced, uninvited, and comes into, sits into the house. But after hearing a woman whose little daughter, and fell at his feet. Isn't that amazing? He had entered the house and she comes right on in and she falls at his feet. And she had a lot of things going against her. What were they? What have we already read here? She was not a what? A Jew? She was not a what? A man. I don't want to put down any of the women here, but she was a woman. And she was from a Gentile race. My goodness. And her daughter has a demon. That made her, and again, these words sound so harsh nowadays, but it made her and her family unclean. The daughter has a demon. She's a woman. She's a pagan. She's not part of the house of Israel. She's from another town apart from the geography. And she comes uninvited. And she walks into the house. She must have walked into the house. And she falls down and she starts begging and she doesn't stop. Quite a scene. It's quite a scene. Have you ever been at a, I don't know, I mean, we've had a few church dinners at our little church building in the last 2 years, and we've had a lot of church dinners. I'm just like you guys, we eat a lot. and folks who come in, once in a while, there's been several different men and a few different women that have come into our midst, and I'm just kind of, my ears go up, and I'm just trying to think, how can I guide this situation? I want to help this person because they're making a scene. And I'm trying to help them. This is quite a scene. And she's begging, and she won't stop. So she keeps on begging. That's the thought in the Greek, that she just keeps asking. And that's what it says in verse 26. She kept asking him to cast the demon out of her daughter. And he was saying to her, and this is how the Lord answers, "Let the children be satisfied first, for it is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." Wow. You ever read something in the Bible and thought, my Lord, that's a little hard. "Let the children be satisfied first," Jesus said. She keeps begging. He answers her, "Let the children be satisfied first, for it is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." What's another word? You know your Bibles. What's another word for a Gentile in the Bible? A dog. How many of us have a dog? And smile if you got a dog. Yeah. And, you know, we love dogs in this country, you know. We had a chocolate lab, Bella. And when we moved here, we couldn't bring her with us. And there was a neighbor, and he had four boys. And they came over and they said, "Can we please have Bella?" I said, "My goodness." And so Bella is taking care of these young boys, you know. And I love dogs. I mean, I don't know if you love dogs. I don't know. I'm not much of a cat person, but I don't want to step on any toes here, but I love dogs. You know what? In the Bible, dogs, that's not a good thing. In the Bible, 2,000 years ago, dogs were what? Seldom pets, usually what? Maybe they would work with some shepherds, and I have a little flock of sheep out near Wilmego. We live on Highway 24 on the other side of town. I have a little flock of Suffolk sheep, and we sell some lambs to 4-H kids. And my kids used to show them. And I've had guard dogs that would protect my flock. Apart from that, 2,000 years ago, most dogs are scavengers. Most dogs are around the edge of town. They're the same kind of situation you see dogs in other countries nowadays that aren't pets. You think, ouch. This is a strong word, but you know, the Lord uses a special word here, though. He uses a tender form of dogs. If you're thinking of small dogs, if you're thinking of a tender dog, if you're thinking of a baby dog, what do you think of? You don't use the word dog, you use what? You're not thinking dog. You're thinking young dog. You're thinking a baby dog. Tender word. What's the word you use?
Puppy.
And that's the word he uses. And he says, listen, Mom, you understand this. There's an order here. I'm trying to deal with Israel first. Eventually, Jesus himself told his men that we will now preach this message to all the nations, to all the Gentiles, to all the dogs, so to speak. The whole world. I care about this whole crazy world. I don't know if there's any Jewish men in the room here. We're all Gentiles, probably. And maybe I'm wrong here. There might be a few Jews. I doubt it. Our church in Florida and in the East Coast in Maryland, we had a number of young men and women that came to Christ that were Jewish, and they accepted Christ as their Savior. They were redeemed Jews. Here, I always stand in the camp of the Gentile. I always think, well, I'm one of those Gentiles. Thank you, Lord, that you went beyond Israel. Thank you, Lord, that you went to this whole world and caught little old Iowa and Rick Whitney, you know, and I don't know what I am, Scotch-Irish or something. And thank you, Lord, that you said this to her. Woman, you understand, first we feed the kids. And if there's some scraps that fall to the ground, I have a daughter who has a little dog, looks just like Toto in the movie. His name is Timmy. And he's in the house all the time. And she's got three boys. And they're very young little boys, my grandsons, Gabe and Jack and Ben. And if any mistake happens at supper, whatever, we eat with them, anything falls to the floor, Timmy's waiting. And Timmy takes care of everything that hits the floor. Timmy's just prowling under these boys. This dog is an interesting little dog here. But I'm thinking how this goes on here. Let the children be satisfied. It's not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs, to the pups. I think you understand that. He's appealing to this woman. He's challenging her. He's saying, there's an order here. I left Israel. I'm off in this other city, a different area, neighboring area. I'm not here for you yet. But look how she answers. But she answered and said to him, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. But even the dogs under the table, even the puppies under the table, feed on the children's crumbs. Yes, Lord. But even the dogs under the table feed on the children's crumbs. I love how she doesn't get put off. She's not offended. She's not offended. She admits, yes, Lord, I'm not part of the nation of Israel. Yes, Lord, I'm a sinner. I'm not part of this tribe, your purpose at that time. But Lord, there's enough on this table even for my needs and my daughter's needs. She won't be put off. I like how she appeals to the Lord. And I like how what is she doing with the Lord? What is she doing back and forth here? She's kind of wrestling with the Lord, isn't she? The Lord says, woman, if you turn to Matthew, we won't turn here, but in Matthew, this story is expounded where he says, I came for the lost sheep of the house of Israel and not to the Gentiles. It's explained a little bit more. But she says, yes, I'm a Gentile. Yes, I'm a woman. Yes, you're a male Jew. Yes, you're a rabbi. Yes, my daughter is unclean. Yes, I have no invite into this house. I admit all that. She doesn't stand there and go like this. Do you ever notice how she doesn't respond? I thought of this. She didn't say, how dare you? How dare you call me an outsider, a dog, not a... how do we act in this country if our rights are trampled on? You know, we're ready to do it. We say, those are fighting words. You putting me down? I'm from Iowa just because you're from Kansas or Oklahoma or whatever, and it's football and it's everything else and it's culture, and you're from the Ozarks and back and forth, and you're this and that. And we're always separating and we're fighting. And how dare somebody say something that we feel might demean us? She says, I admit, Lord, I don't belong at the table. I admit, Lord, I have no rights here. I admit I'm not a member of the Jewish house of faith. I admit I'm a Syrophoenician. Yes, Lord. I'm not going to argue about that. But, what does she say? Even so, there's enough for me, isn't there? I like how she is this way with God. Are you this way? How do we approach God? I think of how I approach God. I can approach God like this. He's a stern Old Testament God of thunder and judgment and sacrifice, or and that's wrong. That's not true. He's been a loving creator all down through the centuries and all eternity. Or I can approach him kind of modern day, nowadays. I think, well, he's just kind of like, if he exists, like Oprah says, if he exists, then he's just like a big pinball machine, and whatever you put in a quarter out comes some good. Or he's a force, like Star Trek or Star Wars, or he's just this positive energy thing, or he's always so loving that no matter what happens, I can just always access. And both are a bit twisted, a little bit shallow, aren't they? Obviously, our God is a God of fire. Our God is a God of judgment. But our God is a God of loving kindness. Our God is a God of loving kindness and grace and truth. But, He's not silly putty. I mean, He's not just a big vat of jello. I'm just basking in the grace of God. I mean, our Lord has character, and it's encapsulated in our Savior Jesus Christ, and He drove those money changers out of the temple, and yet He's dealing with this woman in a very careful way. He's a very, I think, as a woman caught in adultery, how careful He was with her. Woman, I don't condemn you either. Arise, sin no more. And He saved her. Our Lord encapsulates all these traits that are just so hard. We sing about those traits. We believe those traits. Boy, they're so hard. I like it how she responds. Yes, Lord, but even the dogs under the table feed on the children's crumbs. I know I'm unworthy. I'm not going to say I'm worthy. I demand. I am unworthy. But she wrestles with God for grace and blessing. I just like that. I hope you like that. I think of how this woman is. She's all those things I described, a Syrophoenician, a woman from another country, and her daughter's got trouble. But what is she also primarily? What's the big thing about this girl? What's her big job description? Who is she? What is she? She's a what? She's a mother. That's her big job description. Next week at Mother's Day, I'm going to share this. I hope it blesses you. There are scaredy cats in this world. There is people that are just neutral. They're not really cowards. There are heroes in this world. And then there's a whole different category called what? Moms. You ever notice that? I like how Keller put that. He said, you know, there's scaredy cats. There's these neutral people out in the world. They don't think they're scaredy or heroes. They're heroes. And then there's this whole other thing called moms. This woman was not going to be put off, was she? She wasn't arrogant. She wasn't demanding. She didn't say, I deserve, I demand, how dare you. She said, yes, Lord, that's all true. But Lord, what a wonderful approach to our Savior. Respect, honor, but she wasn't going to be put off because she knew something of, somehow by faith, she knew something about the character of Jesus Christ. I'll just ask you this. This is my last thought. We all approach God all day, every day. Maybe you're driving, maybe you're thinking, maybe you're having your quiet time, maybe it's devotions, maybe it's once a week, maybe it's not every day. Maybe you don't think about the Lord every day. But when you do think of the Lord, we are approaching God in our mind, in our heart. How do we approach God? Like the stern Old Testament, fearful judge, or like a soft little silly putty, gushy-gushy. Well, I like her approach. I like her approach. Tremendous respect. Tremendous, no sense of, you don't pick up here that she's saying, you must. But she wrestles with God, says, Lord, do you know something about God that He responds to this kind of faith? In your heart, when you're approaching God, do you know that He's a gracious God? It blesses me to think about it. Going back, look how he goes on to say, verse 29. And he said to her, because of this answer, in Matthew it says, wow, such an answer. Go, the demon has gone out of your daughter. And going back to her home, she found the child lying on the bed, the demon having left. And he went out from the region of Tyre and came back into Galilee. And this little chapter is over with. I would encourage this if you're a man or a woman. I know I'm going to take her story and hang on to it for a few weeks if I can. I'm going to remember in my approach to God, my approaches to God and my prayers to God. Lord, I don't want to be arrogant. I don't want to be proud. We know that. We know that as we read our Bible. We want to humble ourselves before God. But, I want to persist and wrestle with you, Lord. And I want to ask and just beg you for blessing. Because I know that you're the kind of God, even if I know I'm not even a puppy, I'm just a dog before God. But crumbs fall off the table. Lord, help me. Help me. And the Lord says, wow, such an answer. This is the kind of woman the Lord wanted. This is the kind of man God wants. It teaches us a little bit about how to approach the Lord.